Thanks for listening to the Odd Couple podcast. Be sure to check us out live every weekday from 7 p.m. to 10 p.m. Eastern, 4 to 7 Pacific on Fox Sports Radio. Find your local station for the Odd Couple at foxsportsradio.com or stream us live every day on the iHeartRadio app by searching FSR.
Now let's get this party started.
You're listening to Fox Sports Radio.
It is the Odd Couple. I'm Chrissy's Rob. We're coming to you live from the Fox Sports Radio studios. We've been talking football, basketball, baseball. So much to get into, and keep it locked here over the next 60 minutes. You won't be sorry. We're on Fox Sports Radio, the iHeartRadio app, or Sirius XM Channel 83. We got John Morosi, Fox Sports Radio's MLB insider, and we've been talking a little bit about the Dodgers and getting Max Scherzer in San Diego. And so we'll get into all of that with Morosi. But, Rob, quickly, I'm watching, you know, I've got the Olympics on as we do the show. And they just had the 800 meters. And I believe they're still in the prelims. But quick question kind of went through my mind, and I'd like to ask you your thoughts. Would you rather win a gold medal or break a world record, like have a world record? So let's say you,
gold medal.
Okay.
You know why?
Why?
You can't take that from me. Somebody could break the record that I set, and then my name's not on the record books, but I'll always have a gold medal.
That's fair. I would. What about the counter argument of, if I won the gold medal, I was just the best player or best sprinter or whatever it was in that year.
No, I get that.
But if I break a record, I'm the best ever, at least for as long as
it lasts. But there's a chance for somebody to break your record. You know what I mean?
Right.
Like Babe Ruth thought his home run record, right? 715, 714, that got broke. Hank Aaron thought 755 would stand. That got broke. You know what I mean? Like,
no, so records are going to get broken.
Right, at some point. That's the thing I'm saying. So I would rather have my gold medal where for the rest of my life, I'll be introduced as gold medal winner Rob Parker. You know, they do that for the Marconi for me in radio. They call me like a gold medal kind of guy.
Do they?
No, maybe not.
But they could introduce me as former world record holder Chris Broussard. That don't sound bad. Because
yeah,
I was thinking, because they were running a prelim. And they showed the world record. And obviously, the guys aren't trying to go out and break the record in the prelim. But I was just thinking, what if you did? And maybe you finished with the bronze in the actual final. But still, you own the world record. That's a tough one. I get where you're coming from, but to be a world record holder,
one could be taken away from you, though. Do you know what I'm saying?
No, it could. I hear you. I hear you. I hear you on that. All right, but what we wanted to get into was Carson Wentz, and Rob. I mean, we've debated Carson Wentz.
I've liked Carson Wentz for a long time since this show has been on. Wentz in a lifetime, Wentzylvania.
I like Carson Wentz. Be healthy? Whatever. You know, Wentz he going to get his job back? No, but those are jokes we've thrown out, right? And here it is, a couple of days in the camp, and I'm not even trying to be funny or sarcastic. You know what I mean? It just is what I like him. I think he's a pretty good player. Now, obviously, he fizzled in Philadelphia. But I was, and maybe he'll play, maybe. We don't know the extent of this injury. But I was expecting a bounce-back year from him in Indianapolis.
They got a
and
good
I was
team.
Expecting them to have,
they
yes,
run the
I was
ball.
Expecting
they got a
nice
good
season.
Offensive line.
He's back with Frank Reich, where he had his most success in Philadelphia under Reich, when Reich was the quarterback's coach or the OC. So I was expecting big things, but here we are a few days into camp, and Carson Wentz, who has been injury-prone to say the least, suffers a foot injury at the end of yesterday's practice. He said he felt a quote-unquote twinge in his foot. And Michael Silver, the NFL Network reporter, is saying that the foot injury involved a bone and a ligament, which that never sounds good. But he's gotten an MRI. They're waiting for the results. The feeling right now seems to be like it's not season-ending.
Thank God.
But it could cost him a few of the early games of the season. Obviously, best case scenario, you know, at least probably what they're thinking now, is he's able to start the season. But, Rob, this is just, to me, because these are like, everybody can get hurt, right? You get tackled, you get hit hard, you fall the wrong way, land the wrong way. Anybody,
but there's
that
certain guys who can't stop getting hurt. That's the
right
part that's...
There's a big part of this, right? And this goes for any of the major sports. When you're a world-class competitor, basketball, football, it's something like most people's bodies, Rob. I don't think most people could play 82 games in the NBA. And I don't mean quality of play. I don't mean, you know, of course, most people aren't good enough to do that. But I just mean physically, the wear and tear on your body, football, to play 17 games, now 17, and you're getting smacked around every single game, you know, if you're a starter, that takes something. Like, you got to be built, and I mean physically built, a certain way to be able to do that. I remember playing high school football. I used to say it's about football, Rob. Football was my favorite sport growing up. It was my first love as far as sports.
Mm-hmm.
But every year I played, and I played through high school. I thought about playing in college. Every year it got more and more painful and less fun. I mean, I have fun in the games, but then the practices and it gets cold. And
but
it,
you
I
realize
mean,
you're like, man, this ain't that fun.
Yeah. I always say it because I was recruited to play where I played basketball. I was recruited. They recruited me for football too. And I always used to say, man, if I could just play in the games, I'd have played football. I didn't want to go through the practice.
That always deterred me about playing football, Chris, was exactly that. That there's just way more practice and all that other stuff than there are games.
Right.
And baseball, you play more than you practice.
Right. Right. And then basketball, you play a lot. You still practice a lot, too, but
you
play a lot
though.
More games. Yeah, you just can't in football. You just can't. But so it takes a certain, like, genetic makeup to be able to go through these seasons that these guys do. And I don't know. I'm not saying Carson Wentz isn't, but something's right. He just keeps getting hurt. And it goes back to college. He had injury problems in college too. And so hopefully, look, he's back to start the season. Hopefully he can make it through the season. I really think the Colts could have a good team this year if he does. I mean, they were pretty good last year. With the old man Rivers, you know?
Right. Do you think he's sick, though? I mean, seriously, like what is this? Like I just can't go out and just be healthy, just have a good year, play 1 year. We saw when he was healthy, Chris, early on in his career, he was having an MVP season with the Eagles, got hurt, and ever since then, he just doesn't seem like he can stay healthy. It's so depressing for a guy who has talent.
Right. Yeah, I don't think he's sick. I just think
not
his
sick.
Body, you know, some guys are your bones brittle. You know, even again, playing young as a younger guy, some guys got broken bones and kept getting them, you know, and their bones were brittle. Like, so, look, obviously he's gotten to the highest level, so he's got some physical strength and durability and all that. But, you know, Rob, it just – we've seen it in other sports, mostly, and I, when I think of, you know, obviously the sport I've covered mostly is basketball.
Right.
Most of the time when guys' careers in basketball are derailed by injury, it's some big injury, you know what I mean, that they just can't come back from. That steals, robs them of some of their athletic ability or whatever it may be. But I haven't seen... I mean, you look at an Anthony Davis. Now, I don't think with him, I think it's more mental with him.
Do you?
Than physical. Yeah, I just think he doesn't, you know, push through the the aches and the pains.
Right, that everything's not the end of the world because he's always on the ground, always grabbing something.
Right.
You know, like all the time. Just get up, you know?
Right. Yeah, because, I mean, it's one thing if you just got an injury, you can't play. Okay, we get that.
Right.
But
he went out and played in that game where we knew Chris, you know, we had Antonio on and said, you can't play on that groin. He said it. We can't play on that groin. Are you kidding? After 3 days?
Yeah, I mean, when guys, it's always a hammy, it's a back, it's a, you know, groin. I mean, all the time. I don't mean here or there. I just think some guys don't fight through the bruises and the nicks and the things like that like other guys do. But I just think that, you know, we've seen several players. Hopefully Carson Wentz doesn't fall into this boat. But we've seen players before, Rob, who could have had a great career. And who knows? I mean, obviously I think his play for some reason since he got back, Rob, from that first major injury – he hasn't been the same, you know. I know he had the nice little run. They made the playoffs a couple years ago, and he played well, you know, with the backups and stuff. But he's never been what he was that year when he was on pace to win the MVP.
No.
And so, you know, he looked very – I mean, you know, everybody – most people really liked him at that point. And now it's a big question as to what he'll be. But I think about some of the guys, again, in the NBA – I think about a Grant Hill.
Grant Hill comes to mind first for me. Like
Penny Hardaway. How about Penny, though?
I don't remember Penny's injury at the end. What was
it? It was just he had a knee injury, but he never really, you know, and I think he may have injured it again or the other knee, but the main thing was an injury that threw him off. And he never was the same. And then, of course, Derrick Rose.
Derrick Rose, that's another one.
He's another
absolutely
one, yeah. So those are three.
I'm trying
to
think
to
of
mind.
Football players. Who else? Who, a lot of guys banged up, but let me see. I'm sure there are other people we're missing. I thought about it in baseball.
Well, Strasburg is the biggest one right now.
And that's the one the elephant in the room, Chris, because he's another one with so much talent.
I thought he could have been an all-time great. Yeah. All-time great stuff. But he definitely, and there's a lot of.
And now they're working on his neck. He's going to have neck surgery. I mean, of all things, neck surgery for a pitcher. You know what I mean?
Kerry Wood
had arm issues with the Cubs. You remember him?
Right. So, I think within baseball, it's probably a lot of pitchers.
Yeah.
Don't you think more than anything?
More so than anything, yeah. I'm trying to think.
Terrell Davis in football, great running back who.
What do you play? Know,
he made the most out of his 6 years or whatever.
Is it just
I think
six?
It was like 6 years. At Gale Sayers is another one in football.
Who, yeah, those guys would get beat up back
great.
Then.
Yeah. All right. We're going to throw it out to you guys, though. 877-99 on Fox. 877-996-6369. It is your turn to weigh in. How concerned should Colts fans be about Carson Wentz's injury history? What are your thoughts on that? 877-99 on Fox. Odd Couple, Chris and Rob, Fox Sports Radio.
Be sure to catch live editions of The Odd Couple with Chris Broussard and Rob Parker. Weekdays at 7 p.m. Eastern, 4 p.m. Pacific on Fox Sports Radio and the iHeartRadio app.
Hey, it's me, Rob Parker. Check out my weekly MLB podcast, Inside the Parker, for 22 minutes of piping hot baseball talk featuring the biggest names and newsmakers in the sport. Whether you believe in analytics or the eye test, we've got all the bases covered. New episodes drop every Thursday, so do yourself a favor and listen to Inside the Parker with Rob Parker on the iHeartRadio app or wherever you get your podcast.
All right, it is The Odd Couple, one of my all-time favorite songs.
Oh, this is a great song. Are you kidding me? This is in the Hall
this
of Fame
it.
Of song.
Absolutely. Knee-deep Parliament Funkadelic, George Clinton
Crew.
Because
she was just a little knee-deep. She was sort of knee-deep once she did the freak with me. She did the jerk. It didn't work now.
We are the Odd Couple coming to you live from the Fox Sports Radio studios. And you can tell Rob Parker's on his way to Vegas.
Oh, yes.
He's in the mood.
You already know, Chris. I can't wait.
Yes, yes. Have fun. All right. Carson Wentz, how concerned should Colts fans be? I mean, let's face it. Rob G sent me this note. Rob G, our bang-up researcher. You know, he does it all. Super producer, researcher, all that stuff. He sent me this note, Rob. Check this out. And you got it, too. I'm going to read it. Carson Wentz has been hurt almost every year he's played football since high school.
That's incredible.
In 2011, doctors at North Dakota State, where he played in college, discovered a stress fracture in his back that he suffered as an adolescent. October 2015, broken bone in his throwing wrist that required surgery, missed 8 weeks at North Dakota State. August 2016, hairline fracture in his ribs, missed the entire season, but played all 16 games in the regular season. Oh, missed the entire preseason, but played all 16 games in the regular season. December 2017, ACL and LCL tear, missed the remainder of the 2017 season and the Super Bowl, and then the first two games of 2018. December 2018, fractures his vertebrae, which forced him to miss the rest of the season, and then January 2020, a concussion in his first career playoff game, and now this. We're not sure, but some type of foot injury right now. So, Rob, if he is able to start the season or come back after a couple games, you hate to say it, but you're going to be wondering what's next.
Yeah, it is an amazing run of bad luck for yep. one guy. It's incredible. All right, let's kick it off, Chris, with John in North Carolina. You're on the Odd Couple, Fox Sports Radio. What's up, John?
John.
We still got phone issues or not? All right, still, Chris, something's going on.
Equipment today.
You got some bugs in there or whatever, but they worked it out the last time. It'll probably kick back in. And if you're so John,
there you go.
What's up, buddy?
What's going on, fellas?
What's happening?
Man, Colts fans, it's panic time. You should be very concerned, especially if, you know, you believe that Carson Wentz is that dude. You know, the biggest, best example that I can think of, you know, I'm a diehard Ravens fan, Jimmy Smith, one of the best corners in the league, if not the best. And the dude is always hurt,
right?
Especially when you need him. And I know it's cliche, but the best abilities availability. And, you know, especially Carson Wentz, he's in his prime years, you would think. And, you know, you just wonder how many more years is he going to miss? And before you know, there's that significant decline. I mean, obviously right. The Colts believe in him, but you know, you got to be worried.
And he's got all that money on his contract.
Yeah, but I thought he was the right fit there. You know what I mean? Phillip Rivers is too old, Chris. That was the right move. Like, and you talked about it, Frank Reich, where he had success.
Yep, absolutely. You know who a guy hadn't been to the extent of Wentz. But a guy in the NBA, Rob, right
who?
Now, Joel Embiid.
Yep. But
he's
had
something. He's been able to play through it for the most part, but you know what I'm saying? Like,
no, you're right. He has, but it always seems to be something with him as well. Tommy in Nashville, you're on the Odd Couple, Fox Sports Radio. What's up, Tommy?
Hey, thanks for taking my call. Just right quick, huge, huge follower of you guys ever since at least I heard about you, of course, watched you at ESPN, but I love your show. I love you guys' dynamics. So
thank you.
So no problem. So, you know, I they would have to be very concerned. He has been, I didn't know about him in high school, but I know he was a very physical player in college. Just, and you know, when you're the size and strength that he is, it makes it like a Big Ben thing as far as, you think you can kind of overcome everybody you come and cross with. And he had a fantastic first year at Philadelphia. And he's such a gifted passer. But I think he's so beat up over the years. And he and he really kind of lost his way, in technique and things like that once Frank Wright left. And he does kind of remind me also of Kyrie Irving in the fact that he has been injured on every level. It was really kind of actually unusual for Kyrie to go a complete season healthy, of course, Kyrie's had other issues.
Kyrie's a good comparison.
Yeah, and then what happened, he got hurt in the playoffs. You know what I mean?
Absolutely.
Like, yeah.
I mean, just think Kyrie, the first year, he didn't finish at Duke. He got hurt. He got hurt first couple of years in Cleveland.
Yep.
The 1 year that he actually got through the whole season, they won the
remember the first year in Cleveland when they got with LeBron, they got to the finals and he got hurt.
Right.
Now,
exactly.
That's what I'm saying. Sometimes it's just your physical makeup, it seems like.
Yeah. You know? Unfortunate. Just super talented. Yeah. I thought that this would be – I really did think this was going to be great for the Colts, him being there back with Frank Wright. But, I feel bad for him in the fact that – I feel bad for any athlete that really has that issue. But hopefully he gets over it.
Thank you, Tommy.
Andrew Luck, Rob.
Thanks Andrew for the Luck. Support. Andrew Luck are just always something.
Yep.
Let's squeeze in Andre, Chris, from Massachusetts. I mean, Massachusetts. You're on the Odd Couple Fox Sports Radio. What's up, Dre?
What's going on? Good evening. Right now, I cannot hit the panic button in terms of Carson Wentz's injury based off the fact that they said it's not season ending and they're going to have to get a report someone for it. But that's not why I'm not overly concerned. Carson Wentz has played in 85% of his regular season games. He's missed 12 games over his 5 years, but 68 out of 80 games, he's been rather durable. Now we know that.
Andre, stop it, Andre. You can throw those numbers out, and that sounds good. He's completed two seasons in his 5 years in the NFL, and look, quarterbacks. I get it; they take a lot of shots and all that, but. A quarterback, that's not durable for a starting quarterback in the NFL. It sounds okay when you throw it out 60 of 85. Hey, that's pretty good, right? But no, Tom Brady, Aaron Rodgers, Pat Mahomes, we can go down the list. The best quarterbacks, they're there. Eli Manning, I mean,
And when you think Eli was an unbelievably durable
right.
Chris.
Right.
And Aaron Rodgers, the 2 years that he missed, he had broken collarbones both times, right?
Right. Come on, Dre. You're better than that. You can't just throw out that percentage. Is he there?
I've thrown the 85%, and you can reject that. The reason beyond that I am not overly concerned is because, as was noted, Carson Wentz had his best success with Frank Wright in that system. And so when he does get on the field – it is going to be a little bit of a hiccup when he does get on the field. I think you're going to see what we saw early on in his career, and then that will dissuade many of the misgivings that people have now. So that's
I'm more concerned about the injuries.
Yeah, we're with you on that. If he's healthy with Frank Reich and the Colts and what they have, Chris, and their weapons, I'm good.
Right, absolutely.
I don't have any issues. I think he can play well there.
Yep, I'm the same way. So, all right, Dre, thanks, man. We got John Morosi, Fox Sports Radio. Major League Baseball Insider coming up in a few moments, but first.
Fox Sports Radio has the best sports talk lineup in the nation. Catch all of our shows at foxsportsradio.com. And within the iHeartRadio app, search FSR to listen live.
We are the iCouple coming to you live from the Fox Sports Radio studios. Our next guest is a Fox Sports Radio MLB Insider. We love talking with him, John Morosi. John, welcome.
What up? Hey, Chris and Rob, happy MLB trade deadline day. Happy Pistons get the first pick in the draft week.
Yes.
I'm all excited about Kate Cunningham. I'm ready to renew my fandom of the Bad Boys from when I was a kid. We're due. We had the Bad Boys, we had the Going to Work champions, and now Cade Cunningham helps bring about the next era of championship Pistons basketball.
I like
your
optimism.
Everybody's excited about him, I'll tell you that. So we will see. We will see. But let's go to baseball, of course, and Max Scherzer, kind of the Dodgers sneaking in. It's not really out of nowhere, but, a lot of people thought the Padres had him, yeah. And they get Scherzer. How'd this come about, and what do you make of it?
Well, guys, first of all, this is
to me, the best deadline I have ever seen. I've been covering these for about 15 years, and this is the best trade deadline I've ever covered. And most exciting, most star players moved, most surprises. We had a Cubs-White Sox trade on deadline day for a future Hall of Fame closer and Craig Kimbrell. Are you kidding me? That's an amazing story. So Max Scherzer, a couple things. Well, number one, as we know, Clayton Kershaw has been injured a little bit. Bauer has been away, obviously, while the investigation is going on. And so there's a lot of uncertainty about the Dodger rotation in general in the near term. And so you do what Andrew Friedman does, which is go out and get the best rental starter you can, and that's what they've done. They got Max Scherzer, and the reason why they were able to get him is that it was going to cost them a premium piece in the catcher, Keibert Ruiz, to make it happen. And so the Dodgers basically said, okay, we'll give you Ruiz, but we're taking Trey Turner as well. And so the deal grew from there into what it became, a six-player deal, two players going to L.A., four to the Washington Nationals. And I tell you what, guys, I make this statement, and I do it with a lot of confidence, that when you make tough calls like the Nationals did on Scherzer and Turner and Brad Hand and Kyle Schwarber and so many key guys, and like the Cubs did with Rizzo and Bryant and Baez and Kimbrel, it's a lot easier to do it when you have a banner that flies in your ballpark for winning a World Series championship. And I really think that today was a pretty historic day because it really closed the book on the 2016 World Series champs and the 2019 World Series champs all on the same day. By the way, they're playing a game in D.C. tonight between those same two teams. So it's funny how the baseball gods work that way.
But let me ask you this, Joe. I can't get over, like, really out of that Cubs, nucleus and what people thought was going to be, oh, that Cubs team, look how young they are. They got all these great players. They're going to win two or three World Series. That they got rid of all of them today. I can't get over, like, even when the Mets got Baez, I just thought, they'll keep one. Well, don't they want to keep one of those guys and pay one of those guys and then build some other players around them? Why just do a house cleaning? If I'm a Cubs fan, I'm not happy today that everybody's gone.
Well, Robin, that's a fair statement. But here's how I would answer that, is that they won the World Series in 16. They lost the NLCS in 17, and then they have not made it that far again. They've never been able to keep moving the ball down the field and advancing in the playoffs. They were an almost dynasty that wasn't. They were a championship team, and no one's ever going to be able to take that away from them.
But, I get that.
But, Rob, there's nothing that I've seen in this team's play, and I've watched them a fair amount, being here in the Midwest. I've watched them a lot the last few years, and at no point in time did I think they ever got their mojo back. They won the one championship. They really, the next year, had an excellent team. They just kind of ran out of gas. The Dodgers were a better team that year.
No, that's fair,
and,
John.
But I guess
I'm just saying, everybody, you got rid of everybody like that.
But no, here's the point, is that when, to me, like in baseball, it's different, I think, than in other sports. In baseball, signing these mega long-term deals to stars once they've already had maybe their peak years and they're in their 30s, it is very rarely the right play. Sometimes it is, but it usually isn't. And I could argue that if they had played better, that if they were in the NLCS every single year, that if they were in the World Series more than once, that you had seen enough from this team that said, you know what, they're worth keeping together. This team, candidly, was not worth keeping together. They were not right now. Now they're going to be legends forever, but they're not a good team right now. And so, rather than double down and hope that it happens again when it didn't happen in 17, 18, 19, 20, or 21, it's five straight years. It would not make sense to me to keep them together. And I think they made the prudent approach, which is start over, get young, and find the next group of young players that your fans are going to fall in love with.
John Morosi, MLB insider for Fox Sports Radio.
It'll be another 100 years for the Cubs win.
Hey, you never know, Rob. You never know. And you know the game. You were there covering the Reds, and you know the game, my friend. I trust your analysis.
John, the Mets, obviously they lead the NL East, got about 3.5 game lead.
Wow.
But they bad news today about Jacob DeGrom out until September. Mm-hmm. Do you think they can hold on without him?
Well, Chris, that's an excellent question. And I think that we're going to see now the NL East become a really interesting race. Because the NL West, and Harold Reynolds made this point today on MLB Network, the NL West has got a lot of pub this year for good reason. They've got probably three of the best teams, if not the three best teams in the NL, although Milwaukee's been very good this year. But we've talked so much about that great three-team race out there. But I think the NL East race now is about to get really good because the Mets bring in Baez, who was a fun pickup, a lot of energy. The Braves made a really nice move at the buzzer there to bring in Richard Rodriguez as a reliever to really help stabilize the bullpen. They remade the outfield with Duvall and Rosario. The Phillies brought in Gibson and Kennedy in one move from Texas. So you saw all the three teams get better. But you're right on DeGrom. And this is where, guys, I tell you, I really struggle with Jacob from the standpoint of what you can expect from him going forward. Because when he's on the mound, he's clearly the best in the planet. He's been amazing. But he's really had about 6 weeks where he's been pretty consistent this year. And the rest of the time, he's either been missing starts or he's been out. And, right. and that's just – you can't win that way. So if that's the case, and Chris, as you point that out, I'm worried about them. I'm worried about their sustainability without Jacob DeGrom. And I think the Braves just got a lot better. And I think they're a hungry team right now. And I look at the same thing with the Phillies. You know, remember, the Braves, Freddie Freeman's a free agent after this year. They haven't signed him yet either. So there's a lot on the line there for the Braves. They're going to come out of this thing hungry, I think.
How about the Padres? How bummed are they? It seemed like they had agreed on the players, and then the Dodgers swooped in with a sweeter deal. But Padres 2.5 games behind the Dodgers, 5.5 behind the Giants. Can all three of those teams make the playoffs?
They can. I think they will, by the way. I really do. I think that the NL wildcard game is going to be between the second and third place teams in the West. But you look at the way the Padres have structured their team. I think they were really close on Scherzer. I do. And I think there were at different times in the last week, guys, where they thought they were going to get Scherzer and Joey Gallo, and they got neither of them. And that's pretty devastating for a team that, guys, I really thought last year, and granted, they made a lot of their moves in the offseason. They brought in Darvish. They brought in Snell. They brought in Musgrove. At some point in time, you got to trust your guys, and I got that. But the way they've pitched the last month, 6 weeks, has not been good. They really have not been the same club from a pitching standpoint in the last 6 weeks or so. And so for me, they missed an opportunity. I think Scherzer would have been perfect for them. Instead, he goes their arch rival. I mean, that is a huge swing. So they're really going to have to rely on their core guys. And I tell you what, Tatis has to be big and Machado as well. But this is going to go up now. Cronenworth has to be huge. Adam Frazier they brought in. Trent Grisham, who I've always liked, he's going to have to really have a big second half. Yep. They're trusting their guys, and it's going to be a great race to the finish.
John, we got about a minute left. Sure. You brought up Trevor Bauer earlier, and Rob and I have talked a lot about this. Obviously, we don't know where this is going to go, but let's just say if he's found innocent, at least that, you know, it was consensual, and everything that happened was consensual. Is the nature of what went on with him, is that enough to – Rob thinks he'll never play for the Dodgers again.
Yeah.
Is that enough to keep most teams, if not all teams – from signing him in the future, even if he's found, like, you know, it was consensual, just the fact of what went on in that situation. From talking to people around the league, what do you think?
You know, Chris, that's an excellent question. And there are people who believe that he has thrown his last pitch for the Dodgers, as Rob said. And that may well be where this ends up. It's going to be a very, very difficult road, I think, for him to find his way back into a major league clubhouse because as you both know, working in the media, the owner of that team is going to have to talk about that decision, the GM,
yep.
the manager,
the players,
The teammates, exactly. And so if you are then wearing the same uniform as him, do you feel like you have to speak about what he has done when reporters ask you about it? It's a lot. It's a lot. And so I think that for now, I think all we have to look at is 2021. I think there's a very real chance that he doesn't pitch again this season, but it's hard to know where this all shakes out, and I think MLB is going to let the facts determine what happens.
John, great stuff, man. Yes. We really appreciate the time. Have a great weekend. Thank you.
Hey, have a wonderful weekend, guys. It was a great trade deadline day. Thanks, as always, for the conversation. Really appreciate it.
All right, brother. That's John Morosi, Fox Sports Radio, MLB Insider. Keep it locked. It's the iCouple, Fox Sports Radio.
Fox Sports Radio has the best sports talk lineup in the nation. Catch all of our shows at foxsportsradio.com. And within the iHeartRadio app, search FSR to listen live.
There it is, Rob. You were singing it earlier.
Oh, yeah. The OJs, the right backstabbers.
OJs, baby. All right, it is the iCouple wrapping up a funky flashback Friday, and the heavy one, DJ Don, he was in for Iowa Sam, who was in for USC Chris, who was in for DJ Alex Tyshirt. And good job. Nice job. You were in those crates, heavy one. You were in those crates. And we are wrapping up this Funky Flashback Friday, coming to you live from the Fox Sports Radio studios. Let's do it here, Rob. We all know about how name, image, and likeness is changing the landscape of college football, and good for it, right? We all think this is fair for the kids. But here's a story that's interesting. So Ohio State, Rob, has the number one quarterback recruit in the class of, I guess it would be, what is this, 2022, I guess? But so he's got 1 year left of high school. His name is Quinn Ewers from Texas. He's going to Ohio State, though. And he's got companies ready to pay him big money on name, image, and likeness because he's the best quarterback in the country. And I guess he's got a pretty decent social media following. He, Rob, is thinking about skipping his senior year in high school. Now, those who are wondering, he only needs one English class to graduate high school. He can take that in the summer. So he's thinking about doing that, graduating early, and going to Ohio State basically as a senior in high school, playing there, getting the money from the name, image, and likeness, and, you know, getting a start on his college career, and which obviously he hopes and many think will end up being a pro career. What are your thoughts on this?
I got no issues. As long as people, you know, if they go to school, he's not dropping out of school, he's going to get his degree if he does that. As long as you get your high school degree.
Well, his diploma, right.
That's all, Chris. I think you need to get that. Other than that, everybody can't go to college. Everybody doesn't have to graduate college to be a productive citizen and useful. Do you know what I mean? It's
right.
Not for everybody.
I totally agree.
It's just not, which I'm cool with that. But I have no issues.
Now,
if it works for
you
and he can make money out of it, Chris, and he's happy, I'm good with it.
Yeah, I got to agree. Now, my first thing was, well, is he going to graduate? And he is going to get his diploma. And then he's, you know, free to do what he wants. And I got no problem. Physically, you hope that the kid's ready for that level, but he probably is. You know, he's going to be a senior in high school age-wise. He's probably 18. And so he's probably as physically developed as he would be as a freshman or close if he graduated from high school or stayed the 4 years. So I'm with you. And I've always felt, Rob, the hypocrisy when people talk about, well, these kids should go to college or they should graduate college. And they really do that a lot with African-Americans, right? Athletes. Oh, they got to go to college. And I've always looked at it as hypocritical because no one really cares about that kid that graduates high school and goes to work at an auto body shop, doesn't go to college, or goes to the military, or goes to work at McDonald's.
Right.
Lives with his parents, doesn't know what he's doing, trying to be a rapper or whatever. You know what I'm saying? Nobody's clamoring that, oh, we got to get this kid into college because he can't run a 4-5. You know what I mean? Or can't dunk a basketball.
And they also
and
don't
I've
have
always
a problem.
Thought that was hypocritical.
Yeah, with Michelle Wee being a pro in golf at 16
right.
and Steffi Graf, Chris
yep.
at 14. She
Jennifer
was a pro
Capriati.
Tennis player. Right. So I just, all the baseball players, now they go to college. But Chris, and before, they used to go straight to the minor leagues after
yep.
high school. You know what I mean? And nobody even blinked an eye.
Yep. Yep. So it's, you know, I agree with you. I've always thought that was hypocritical and unfair. So, you know, more power to this kid. Hopefully it works out for him. All right, it's the Odd Couple. Rob Parker is out the door on his way to Las Vegas.
Let's do it.
Have fun.
Let's do it.
Tell Lamar Mitchell I said what up. It's the Odd Couple. Have a good weekend. Peace.